Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio. We are, of course, powered by SID Media. It is the second and final hour of the show, and as you know, every single Wednesday, we do this thing called, of course, Entrepreneurship and Small Business Wednesday. This is where we talk to entrepreneurs who are leading in the African continent, and today is no different whatsoever. But I'd like to hear from you on +27 734 703 520. That is +27 734 703 520. If you don't know that number by now, I judge you. Really, I am judging you because you should know that number by now. And of course, we're talking to Elder Nyamazana. And Elder Nyamazana will be telling us about his business, particularly some of the lessons that he has learned along the way of this entrepreneurial journey that he is in. I'm told, I'm not an entrepreneur, but I'm told it's very difficult. It's not easy. It's got its ups and downs and all those sort of stuff. And that's exactly what we want to hear from him today. But if you do have a question for him, it is +27 734 703 520. And he's joining us on the line. Good evening, my elder.
Good evening, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Ah, fantastic. Are you joining us from Zimbabwe?
Yes, from Zimbabwe. Yes.
Ah, which part of Zimbabwe are you in?
I'm in Harare.
Harare. Okay. Yes, that's on my bucket Harare. List, by the way. I must be honest with you, because if I remember, the year must have been 2008. I just passed by, or let me say passed through Zimbabwe by Victoria Falls as I was going to Zambia. So Harare is definitely on my bucket list, you see.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah. You need to visit Harare. We enjoy it.
So Harare
means, Harare basically, it's a Shona word that means we don't sleep. So it's a very busy area.
Okay.
People always...
I didn't know that.
Yes, it's a Shona word that means people don't sleep. So no one sleeps in Harare. It's always a busy area.
Okay, that's really interesting. I've got friends, but they've never told me that that's what it means. And they're from Harare, most of them. Like, how, guys? I didn't know that, but thank you so much, my elder, for joining us.
Thank you.
Really appreciate your time. Shilo Fencing. That's the business that we are talking to today. But before I go into you telling us a little bit about the business, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, thank you so much. Yes. So, yeah, my name is Alois Nyamazana, an ordained elder in the Adventist Church.
Yes.
And also, by training, I'm a social scientist.
Okay.
I'm a social scientist by training, but I'm also, I would say, I do some work or community work. I do a lot of marriage counseling and all those things, yes. But I'm also an entrepreneur. I am so passionate about entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
I do like a number of small businesses. And I also go to work. I'm actually a development practitioner.
Oh,
I work in an NGO. So basically that's what I do. I'm a researcher, marriage counselor, and all those things. But I also run a number of businesses.
Before you go anywhere, my elder, how do you do it?
It's not easy, my brother. Not easy at all, because I do a lot of things. I admit that I do a lot of things, but I think for me, really, it's about managing time. And one thing that I've also realized, the things that I do, most of them, I am so passionate about them, such that I don't view it as work. I don't view them as work. It's part of my life.
So you're part of those people that are really blessed, the few that are blessed to be doing what they really love and never really feel like they are going to work.
Yes, precisely. It's just part of my life. So, when I'm helping couples, for me, it gives me satisfaction. When I'm preaching, I'm also a preacher. I think I forgot to say that. Every Sabbath, I'm on the pulpit preaching the gospel.
Look at that.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's really, really amazing. I think it's an encouragement for young people as well. You grew up in Harare. How was it like back in the days?
Unfortunately or fortunately, I did not grow up in Harare. I grew up in the rural areas of a place called Rusape. That's where I grew up. And I then came to Harare when I was doing my A-level, trying to look for better educational facilities. That was around 2003.
Okay.
And since then, I've then been staying in Harare.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about the other businesses as well. But Shiloh, fencing, what about fencing attracted you?
You know, I just looked at the Zimbabwean landscape. So one thing that I would say is, as an entrepreneur, I was taught that the role of an entrepreneur is to identify challenges that are there and turn the challenges into opportunities.
Yes.
So I just looked at Zimbabwe in general. So Zimbabwe is going through some kind of an agricultural revolution. And also, it's also going through what I would call a land revolution. So you notice that in Zimbabwe, basically, people are now aware of the need for acquiring land.
Yes.
So yeah, they have become so conscious of the need to own and to acquire and to own land.
Yes.
And in the process, they want to then secure their land because there are also issues around land corruption, land barons. So the land may actually be sold. One piece of land may be sold to three or four people.
Sure.
So I've realized that when people then buy a piece of land, the next thing that they want is to make sure that they secure it.
Yes.
So if somebody fences their area, then it means those land barons will not come and grab it and sell it to other people.
I see.
So I just realized that, you know, people are buying land. Others are actually grabbing land. Mm. The state is also selling land. Others are moving to the raw air, to the farms and all those things. And they're buying farms. And they need that land to be secured.
Yeah.
And I then said, I think this is a very huge opportunity for us to then to step in.
Ah, look at that. Look, finding a solution to a problem that is observable. And I think that's what most people say entrepreneurship is. So are there other fencing companies around there in Harare? And what would you say makes yours different from them?
I think there are quite a number of fencing companies in Harare, a lot of them, big and small. But I think what makes my business unique is that I try as much as possible to meet the needs of my my customers in their diversity. You know, I realized that there are also small, like people who may not have financial muscle to acquire fencing and all those things. So what I do, I also tailor make my business to also suit their needs. Sometimes I allow them to pay in installments, labor, and all those things. And then I allow them also to then be able to get their fence. So for me, really, it's about also trying to realize the needs of especially those people who may not have much money.
Yes. Oh, that's really fantastic. And when did the business start?
We are still very young, a relatively young business.
Okay.
We started in March.
Okay.
And now we are in August. So, yeah, we started in March. So it's around March, April, May, June, July, August. Yeah. 5 months now.
and I'm sure there's a little bit of money that has come through by now,
Precisely. I think for now we are mostly injecting capital into the business.
Okay.
Because we are also trying to diversify and to grow it. So it's actually trying to put more money into it. We haven't started realizing the profits.
Okay. Talking about then that capital injection into the business. How do you raise capital, right? And I mean from the start and now as a process of doing that, I suppose now it's reinvesting the revenue or the profits that you make instead of taking dividends or whatever, you just reinvest into the business. But from the very beginning, how difficult or easy was it to get money to really start this business?
Getting money to start business is always a challenge for almost everyone. So what I did for me, I started this idea. I actually came up with the idea in November last year. And since then, I've been trying to then, you know, put aside some money. Every month when I get my salary, I try to make sure that I budget a little and I put aside. So what I then did in December, I remember we bought the machine that we used to make the fence. So we put it on, we put it aside. Before we even started, you know, doing the actual fencing. And from December, January, February, we're also putting aside some money after every income. And also from other business that I was running. So it just started small. And to be honest with you, the capital is not yet enough, but Aish, also just Aish. Raised enough capital for us to get started.
To get started. And is government, I suppose, providing some other way to help entrepreneurs with capital?
Well, unfortunately, in Zimbabwe, different scenario altogether. Mm. We hardly get assistance from government to start businesses. It's just one man for himself and God for us. So, it's basically raising your capital in your own means and just making sure that you get started. So, you really need a lot of financial discipline, a lot of innovation for you to get started.
And for someone who may not know the fencing industry, in terms of raising capital, I'm sure it's pretty steep.
Indeed, you really need a lot of money because at the beginning you are also trying to penetrate the market. You need labor. You need people who will be doing the selling and all those things. You need renting and all those. So you may actually spend about 3 months just trying to penetrate the market. But during that 3 months, you'll be injecting capital. So you need money, paying the workers that are working, the people that you're working with, rentals and all those things.
And I know that there's different types of fences. Can you outline the ones that you guys focus on?
So for us, like what I said, you are still a very young business. So for now, we have what you call diamond mesh fence, the diamond mesh. The one that's popular, I think that's the one that's used by almost everyone. That is what we are focusing on. But we also have barbed wire. We also have barbed wire. But we also do chicken mesh, for the small, that one with the small boxes. But we're also, I think we have a target of also trying to get into game fence. I think by December, we should also be able to then acquire game fence and also... there's what's Clearview fence is also our target. We haven't started selling that one, but I also have a target of starting selling that by December as well.
I think a lot of people do know Clearview, right? And that's why I wanted us to break down the different types of fencing that are available there. There's almost everywhere you go, especially in industrial areas, or mining, you find that there's quite a lot of that Clearview that most people kind of like as well. Your first customer, do you remember them? And what type of fencing did they buy? Did you have to advise them? And from there, how have you built customers?
Thank you very much. I like that question. Mm. My first customer, is actually a church member, fortunately.
Okay.
So I remember we just advertised on one of our church groups. And we just said, you know what, we are now doing this business. And a certain woman came through to my inbox and she said, Elder, I want a fence immediately, urgently. And she asked me to do a quotation. It was actually a residential place that she wanted fenced. So she wanted a quotation. We did the quotation. It was so fast, we just did the quotation and we went, we met, we discussed. So I actually advised them because in terms of what they wanted. So they just told us that, like what I said earlier, we try to meet also the needs of our customers depending on the money that is available. So they just told us to say, Elder, this is the money that we have, but we also want to secure property. So we then, tried to come up with a workable, idea in terms of what they were supposed, in terms of the material, the fence, and what you can do even to reduce the cost, but also at the same time, maintaining the quality. And we did the work. They were so happy. We advertised our work. They also even now help us to also just refer people to us.
That's and, really, really
but most
nice.
Of our customers, surprisingly, they are church members. But of course, there are some walking customers who come through from different areas. We've put some posters, so people just call us. We do some quotations, and that's how we do the work.
Fantastic. And social media, I suppose, with it growing, you do have some or other way through that you advertise on social media as well.
Precisely. Actually, social media has been our main avenue for advertising because we actually get customers as far as UK, those diasporans, as far as Poland. I remember currently I'm actually working with a customer who is based in Poland. So I think social media has been our main ways, our main channel of marketing our business.
Oh, wow. So how does it work now? For example, if it's an international client, do you ship, do you use the airplane to get the fence to where they are?
No, the people that we are working with are Zimbabweans who are based in the diaspora.
Ah,
so they have... So they have some properties here in Zimbabwe. So they just say, like the one that is Poland is actually he wants us to fence his place in the raw areas.
So
we're actually in the process of doing the quotation, and once it's done, we send to him, then we see how it goes.
Ah, fantastic. I was a little bit worried there to say, oh my God, how do you
know they are Zimbabweans.
Yeah. how do you ship barbed wire to the UK?
Yeah, it's difficult.
That would be an interesting one there to do. So, yeah. That would be very interesting. Okay. Talking about then, I suppose when you got into this business, right, you obviously had expectations. And I'm sure you sat down, you did a little bit of projections, your spreadsheets were spreadsheeting, for example, and you could see this thing, you know, in the next 3 years, 5 years and all that. But there's always the spreadsheet and then there's reality of things when you get into the business. What has been that gap for you, and what has been that moment of aha as you now do it, you know, physically implementing it, not just from a spreadsheet?
Thank you very much. I have actually realized that sometimes what we visualize and what we plan is actually different from what happens in reality. Mm. So, I've learned in business that every day is a learning day.
You
learn new things. So initially when we started the business, we thought we were going to easily get customers.
Yes.
We had our expectations. Yes. But what I've actually realized that is the business has ups and downs.
Mm.
So there are times when you can get clients, but there are times when it's very quiet.
Yeah.
You hardly get clients and all those things. So I've actually realized that even in terms of the running cost of the business, when you get clients, you need to make sure that they're also saving some money so that you may be able to then even pay the people that you work with, renters and all those things. So it's not always like, you know, things are moving, but there are ups and downs. And you also need to prepare for the downs as well.
And the one or two challenge that you think about?
I think one challenge that I actually faced when you started is that the issue of getting a busy place, you know, for marketing our products.
Yes.
Because fencing also relies on, you know, a place that's busy and all those. But getting that place in Harare is difficult and it's expensive.
Yo.
The renders are very expensive. You need a minimum of about 300 US per month to secure a good place. Yeah. So, that was the place. So, we ended up just getting a certain place, but it's small as well.
Yeah.
I think that's the other challenge. Because you also need to do the weaving of the fence itself.
Yes.
But sometimes the space is too small.
Yeah.
I think that's what one of the main challenges. And the other challenge, the biggest challenge that I would also say we faced, I'm not a technician.
Okay.
I'm not a technician. I'm a social scientist.
Yes.
I'm a preacher.
Yeah.
I'm an NGO worker, but I'm venturing into construction.
That is challenging.
So I think I had not done proper research. But for me, really, when you see a fence that's erected and standing somewhere, you just think it's much easier.
Yes.
But as we then got into the business, I realized then that it's a very technical business.
Oh, no.
You need to do a lot of calculations.
Yeah.
And there are also other things that are involved if you want to erect a fence other than just the diamond mesh.
Yeah.
So I did not really take into consideration all those things. But as I do the business, to be honest with you, I've learned and I'm now able to do almost 90% of the things.
And how easy is it then, would you say, for someone who want to get into this business?
I don't think it's difficult,
okay.
But you need to, you know, business, what I've realized, you need to get started.
Ah.
No matter how much you have, even if you have very little amount of money to start, the most important thing is to get started.
Yeah.
So when you get started, you can then do this. So it's not very difficult, but at the same time, it's not very easy.
Mm.
It requires a lot of planning. It also requires a lot of research because it's a technical area. It's actually construction.
Mm.
And so you also need to identify people that you can partner with, technicians that you can partner with to do the business. And even suppliers of some some material that may not have. For example, you need those fencing posts. Sometimes when you start, you may not have those things.
Yeah.
So it's also about establishing some partnerships. And but also the other thing is, when you're establishing partnerships, you need to work with people who are reliable,
yeah,
who are trustworthy, and that you know you can work together well.
Ooh, who'd have thought that you need technicians for putting up fencing and stuff? You just see
yes,
it there,
you
like, it's easy to do. You know, anyone can do it, but... No,
because even calculating the length or the size of the fence that needed, it's actually mathematical. They actually have some formulas. I discovered when I was doing the job that they actually have some formulas. For example, it's a 300 square meters fence.
Yeah,
they actually have some formulas that they use to calculate the length of the fence that needed.
Oh, look at that! Sure, so you can't run away from mathematics either way. So. Even in fencing. Residential, and you also do, I suppose, industrial or commercial fencing.
Yes, we do. But unfortunately, we haven't really, for now, to be honest, 100% of my customers are mostly residential. Actually.
Mostly residential.
But residentials and farms.
Ah.
But they're also trying to engage some industries and some companies so that we can also start working together.
Fantastic. What drives you, my elder, in this business? What makes you wake up in the morning and say, despite all its challenges, your reality and what you had expected, two different things, but you still wake up and do it?
You know what, brother? I am a father of four kids. I have four children, and you know, things are not, I think we all know that in Zimbabwe, things are not very well. And you know, the other day I was actually reflecting, and I said to myself, you know what, my kid is going at a relatively expensive school, and I also need to prepare for their future and for my future. At some point, I then said, why can't I withdraw my kids from that private school and then take them to a much cheaper school? But I said, no, that's not how things are supposed to be done, because success is not about, you don't need to lower down your standards.
Yes.
But you need to up your game in terms of working hard.
Sure.
So what drove me really is to make sure that, one, I prepare for the future of my children.
Mm.
Number two, I prepare for my own future. Number three, I also contribute even to national development, employment creation, because I also believe that I can be an employer.
Yeah.
We have unemployment in our country.
Yeah.
But instead of just crying and saying things are hard, why can't I also be an employer? Sometimes I actually marvel when people are working, and at the end of the month, I'm also paying them for me. That's how I can contribute to my community and my society.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's really, really beautiful. Yeah. Talk about then doing quite a lot of things, managing businesses here and there, managing a career as well. And, you know, I suppose being a social scientist and all, what does your day typically look like? And more importantly, how does that affect family life?
Thank you so much for this question. Mm. Usually, I usually sleep at around 9.
Okay.
And my secret is I sleep earlier, but I wake up earlier as well.
Ah, okay.
So I usually sleep at around 9, and I wake up usually 3:30 to 4. That's when I start my day. That's when I start. I just sleep around 6-7 hours usually. That's 7 hours at most. So I started around 3:30 or 4 o'clock. I'm working. I run also an NGO. I think I forgot to say that. And besides where I work, I also run an NGO that I founded as well. So, So I then try to do my things starting from 4, 5, 6. So by the time I go to work at around 7, I had about 3 hours of work. So I think for me, really, my secret is that I utilize mornings where, there are no disturbances, the environment is quiet, you are just focusing, the brain is very active.
Mm.
So I start by just praying, I do my devotion.
Yes.
When I wake up, I do my devotion, I read my Bible, then I plan my day, I write down the things that I want to do, and I start working on the things that I can do immediately. Yeah, the things that I need to do immediately. Some of them I actually even plan a day before. Like when I'm sleeping, I just write down the things that I would want to do when I wake up.
Yes.
Then when I wake up, I then start working on those things. I finish those things. If there are emails, I actually even send them out during that time in the morning. If they are, I'm posting if I'm advertising my business, I post out during the morning and all those things. So when I get to work, where I wake, people hardly know that, I've been doing some things in the morning.
Sure.
Yes, and I'm now focusing on my work. And in terms of family life, like what you said, I also try as much as possible to say when I come back home, usually I get to home at around 6.
Yeah.
And I try to make sure that I create about 2 to 3 hours, solid hours of just being with the family. But unfortunately, sometimes I also do some online counseling, premarital counseling for couples and for those who want to get married. But usually I try as much as possible to say from 7 to the time when I sleep at 9 is family time.
Ah, straight up, no phones, nothing, except if it's urgent, it's family time during that time.
Exactly. It's just family time, just checking in with kids, our school, how can I support you, checking with my spouse, just trying to, you know, to reconnect with the family.
Yeah, fantastic. Is it a lonely journey becoming an entrepreneur?
Yes, it is, because I think for me, really, you need to work, especially your spouse. I'm a married person. The family should be supportive. And for me, I work mostly with my family. So I think the other secret of my very busy schedule, I have also learned the you know, the practice of delegating. So my wife does most of the things. I've tried to also to empower her. We share information. So she does a lot of things, manages the business, whereas I'm also doing other things. So it can be a lonely journey if you are not able to delegate. But I think as an entrepreneur, one of the things that I should be able to do is to delegate. You empower others and you delegate. So you need the support of the family and even others as well.
Okay, thank you so much for that. I think that's really great insights there. And if you were to then start all over again, looking at how busy your life is and all these sort of things that you're doing, particularly also your business as well, if you were to start all over again, what would you do differently?
I think what I would do differently, number one, from my experience is research. Just research. Okay. Don't think that you are not. I think what I would do is to make sure I have all the information that I need on my fingertips.
And
I think part of research is talking to the people who are already in business. But what I also realized when I was also building up this business, people are not also always liberal with information. They are not very generous with information. Especially those that are in business. And you need to try as much as possible, do your mapping, find out who is willing to help you with information, gather as much information as possible, even around on customers. Who are your target market? What is your target market? Because you may actually come up with a very brilliant business, but if you don't have a targeted market, then you're bound to fail. And that's so frustrating. So I think I'll do a lot of research, identify my market, try to make sure that I come up with a very clear market and the people that I'm targeting, and also trying to find out who I can partner with. You know, it's part of also research, because I realized that in fencing, you need people who can supply you with other things that you may not have. Because if a person is going to say, I want my property to be fenced, they will just say, I need everything. And it's a responsibility as a supplier to find those things.
I love the point
you then need to find out where you can get something that you may not be producing yourself. So I think it requires a lot of research and also a lot of preparation as well.
That's lovely.
Especially in terms of raising capital.
I was saying that I love the point that you made around partnerships there, because most entrepreneurs, we want to go at this thing alone, and then we get bent alone instead of just asking Elder Nyamazana, for example, to say, how did you navigate this, hey?
Precisely. I think that idea of doing things lonely, just going lonely, is very dangerous. You need others.
You need others. It's dangerous.
It's very dangerous. You really need others. You know, other people, you know, you just need somebody who can and even the type of friends that you play with. For me, really, I have a friend who has always been saying, Nyamazana, you can do this. You need that kind of emotional and moral support.
That's very, very true. And I think you're quite fortunate there, Mel, that you say, you know, you've got a lot of customers who are from your own circle, like Christians in your own circle. Because I find that, I've seen quite a lot of people who are not even Christians themselves, who speak about how when they start their business, it's always difficult to get your friends to actually support your business. They want to look at it first and see it grow. And only 3 years later, they're, oh, so this thing is serious.
Precisely, but I think I also face that challenge as well.
Yeah, okay.
Because you know what happens?
Yeah.
I don't know, our problem is Africans.
Yeah.
Some people, when they actually find that you know, their friend or their relative is running a business, yes, they actually want things for free.
Exactly.
You know, they would want to say, you know what, now we are selling free friends. Why can't you do come and do this for free for me?
Yeah.
Come and you know, so we instead of supporting a business that is struggling, that is starting, people might actually want to drain the few resources that are
there. And you've had to say no quite a bit, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to say no, but it's difficult. Some of them are actually very close relatives.
Yeah.
So, but it's so the people would want the things to be done for free, they don't want to pay, and all those things.
Yeah.
But of course, thank God there are others who understand who they're saying, you know what, you want to support your business, how can you support, and all those things.
Fantastic. Where do you see Shiloh in the next, say, 5-10 years? I mean, we'll be around to interview you again in the next 5 to 10 years, but where do you see Shiloh?
To be honest with you, we are seeing Shiloh becoming a stable and formidable business in the fencing industry.
Yeah.
And we'd want also even to spread geographically to other parts of the country, just set up some branches. That's my vision. And for me, envisioning is to then be able to do big contracts.
Mm.
So actually right now what I'm doing is also to engage in a serious marketing drive, identify potential customers.
Yeah.
I'm actually aiming to do big projects that can also give us, higher return on investment.
Yes. Yeah.
So that in the next 5 years, that's what we're aiming for, and to expand even our workforce as well.
Yeah, fantastic. Create more employment opportunities there. That's a lovely and satisfying moment so far. One or two, or maybe even more. I'm pretty sure that when that manifest came in, that was the most satisfying moment. That's it. We are doing the right thing here. But what would you say is your most satisfying moment so far in this business?
To be honest with you, my satisfying moment is doing the work. I love it when I finish the work.
And let's be honest, my elder, even the money, though.
Yeah, exactly. Especially my first clients, when I did, I think, my one or two jobs.
Yeah.
You know, just seeing that, you know, that we have finished the work, the fence is, you know, we have finished erecting the fence, the customer is happy. One thing that I normally like for me is to see my customers happy.
Yeah, there you go.
When my customers are happy, I'm satisfied. So far, I haven't had any challenges with my customers.
Yeah.
Whenever we do work, we leave them happy.
Yeah.
And for me, that's my satisfying moment.
Ah, okay. That's really great. There are young people that look up to you, also want to be entrepreneurs, when I get into this space. As we close, what would be your words of encouragement to them? What would you share, I suppose, from your own experience as insights?
I think what I would say to young people, number one, is to have a vision of your life. Just have a vision. That's the most important thing. The Bible says where there's no vision, people perish.
Yep.
So just have a vision, identify things that you are passionate with, be a problem solver. You need to be a problem solver. So the world is rewarding problem solvers.
Yeah.
It's not rewarding people who just want to consume, but problem solvers.
That's
so just be a problem solver. And also hang out with the right people.
Because
relationships are very powerful.
Yeah.
So make sure that you are hanging out. You are learning every day as well.
Yeah.
Make sure you are learning every day. And every day do something that contributes to the achievement of your goal. So every day, at the end of the day, you need to evaluate to say, okay, this is where I'm going. What have I done today that can contribute to me, to the achievement of my goal in my life? So I think that's the most important thing. But the most important thing also is to make sure that you don't give up on pursuing your goal. Idea of also not giving up means you also need to learn from your mistakes.
Yeah.
So it's not like continue doing the one thing over and again, over and over again using the same method. But you also need to learn and also try to be flexible, find innovative ways of doing things, and then to pursue your vision.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, my elder. Really appreciate your time, and may God bless you and help you grow your business. Like I said, we'll be back again to just, talk about where it's progressing and where you're going with your journey as well. But may God bless you, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, my brother. I really appreciate this opportunity to talk about my business.
Thank you
don't
so
know
much.
How you made me happy.
We are happy to have you on board. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, that was our elder there, Elder Nyamazana, talking to us about his business there and what he does. And of course, I do hope that you've taken gems for yourself, right? Particularly saying, be a problem solver. That's very important. There are really great business ideas out there. Really a lot of them. But are they solving problems? Because if they are not solving problems, then they are great businesses, but they just won't necessarily go anywhere. So be a problem solver. That's what he said there. And then do something that contributes to achieving your goals. That's what I had him say there. Do something that contributes to achieving your goals every day. Not every other day, but every day. Take stock of your life and say, what have I done to move closer to the goals that I want to have? And of course, he said, learn from your mistakes there. Learn from your mistakes. I loved the point that he made earlier on about also up your game. When you're facing challenges and problems, up your game. Don't run away from problems and challenges. But I think that's what we normally do. We run away. Maybe naturally that's what we, you know, are inclined to do, running away. But running away does not solve your problem. Like you said, the up your game, that's what you need to do. Thank you so much there to Elder Nyamazana for talking to us. +27734703520. That is, of course, the number that you can use to talk to us. Shiloh Fencing, that's where you can find them.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.